morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Father, that as we meditate on it this morning and as we hear important truths, that you will allow our hearts to be present and guide us, Lord, to change our lives through your word. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So I'd like to thank everyone who participated yesterday on the Christmas program. I thank the Lord for the way everything worked. I think it was a really good program. I really enjoyed it. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your help and work together in doing this. Normally, when I speak, I continue on the study of Galatians that I've been taking on for the last couple of years now, I guess. But today, we're going to do something a little bit different. I'd like to take a different passage that has been in my heart, that the Lord has been using to change things in my life. So if you will follow me to Matthew chapter 16, verses 5 through 12. Matthew chapter 16, verses 5 through 12. And I'm going to read this passage several times this first time around. What I want you to notice, or I want you to pay attention to, is the two problems or the two areas of stress that the Lord is making here. What are the problems the disciples have here, and what is the Lord trying to tell them? I'm reading from the New King James Version, Matthew chapter 16, verses 5 through 12. It says, "Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, 'Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It is because we have taken no bread.' But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, 'O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves or the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.' Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." So here are two problems that the Lord is addressing with his disciples. On verse 6, we see the problem of being a Pharisee. He doesn't want his disciples to be hypocrites. He wants their faith to be real. And in verse 11, we see a glimpse of the other problem. The disciples misunderstand the teaching of the Lord, and the reason why they misunderstand the teaching of the Lord is because they were not present. They were worried. They were not paying attention, and that made them miss the instruction of the Lord. To be real and to be present is the topic of our message this morning. And these are two areas in my own life where I have had a lot of problems. So let me give you some examples of my problems. First, being present. And please accept my apologies if you are affected by some of the things that I'm about to say. But for example, if you're a Bible teacher, and I didn't really pay much attention to what you said on Sunday, about 20 to 30 minutes after the sermon, I may remember about 40 to 50% of what you said. Come next week, it's going to be about more like 5 or 10%. And in 3 weeks, I may even pretend that I remember that you preached. The truth is that I am not always present when I am hearing the word of God. I am not always paying attention like the disciples were not here. This problem has another angle, and here's an apology to my wife and my friends and family. Many times, if I'm having a conversation with you and I have this really great idea, this really amazing thought, and you say to me something like, "Well, didn't I just say that 2 minutes ago?" Well, the truth is I wasn't listening to you. I wasn't being present. Or if you're trying to tell me something really important that's really relevant for your life, and then I may ask you a simple question like, "What are we talking about?" That means I wasn't listening to you either. So many times I am not present when others are talking to me, and when God wants me to be listening to others, I am just not there. And one more angle to this problem, one more problem that I have is many times I miss opportunities to serve the Lord because I am not present, because I am distracted, because I am worried about other things that are way less important than what the Lord wants me to do. For example, I was in the gym the other day. I was riding my bike, and there was this guy who was trying to talk to me. He was trying to start a conversation, but I was so focused on my exercise, looking at my calories, feeling sweaty, that I didn't really pay attention to him. That could have been an opportunity to share the gospel. That could have been an opportunity to start a friendship, and I missed it because I was not present. My other struggle from this passage has been to be real, and this is a little bit more embarrassing to talk about, but it's also a true struggle. There have been periods of my life since the times that you know me that you may think that I'm walking with the Lord, but I am just wearing the mask of faith. There are secrets in my life that you will probably never learn about. There are things that I'm hiding that may appear on Sunday like I am really walking with the Lord, but if you knew me, you knew that it was all fake. I have been involved in service for the Lord, and I have made sure that you understand how great a sacrifice I do to serve the Lord, just like the Pharisees. I want to make sure that you understand how much trouble I go through and how much I struggle to serve the Lord, just to receive approval. Many times, the Lord has used things in my life to change my character, and I have had to make some adjustments, and I have taken measures that are very personal that the Lord has brought me into conviction to change into my life. And that's a great thing, but many times I have used some of these measures to measure your faith too. Or in other words, I have used rules that are outside the scripture to measure your faith, and I have criticized you, and internally I have thought less of you because you don't follow the same rules that I follow that are not even part of scripture. This is just reality. I am just being real with you. This is who I am. These are problems that I had in my own life. These are things that you don't see, but this is really what happens. So what is the root of these problems? Where does all of this start from? And why is it so easy for me to be absent or to be hypocritical? Let's read our passage again, this time beginning from verse 1 to build on some context. And this time I want you to focus on one thing. I want you to focus on the role of faith in hypocrisy and the role of faith in being absent. Because the problem or the core of being fake or being a hypocrite or not being present is a lack of faith. Look at Matthew chapter 16, and this time I'm reading from verse 1. It says, "Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came and testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, 'When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah.' And he left them and departed. Now, when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, 'Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'Is it because we have taken no bread?' But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, 'O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000? And how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves of 4,000, and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.' Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." This rebuke to Jesus, of Jesus to his disciples, comes from the heels of chapter 15, when the Lord multiplied 7 loaves of bread and a few fish to feed 4,000 people. And then right after that, on verses 1 through 4, the Pharisees and the Sadducees confront the Lord and they demand a sign. And he calls the Pharisees and the Sadducees hypocrites. You look at the signs of the times. You look at the miracles that the Lord has been making, and you still ask for a sign? You still need proof that I am the Messiah? At the core of the problem of their hypocrisy was lack of faith. Their faith was just a mask. There was no reality. There was no faith in God. And that is the problem of hypocrisy. At the core of hypocrisy, there is a lack of faith. Now, in verse 5, we see a transition, and we see how now the Lord addresses the disciples. And if you have a King James Version, it may say now. If you have a different version, it may have an and conjunction. And this conjunction is important because it's tying up verses 1 through 4 with the rest of the passage that we just read. And I think the idea here is the Lord just rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees for being hypocrites, for not having faith. And we would expect the disciples to have a greater faith than that of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But as we read in this passage, they have the same problem. Just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees have problems with their faith, the disciples here also have problems with their faith. The occasion is a simple mistake. On verse 5, they forget to bring bread. And the disciples are really worried about this error. But it's interesting to notice two things. Number one, God is not even concerned that they have forgotten the bread. He's not even asking them about the bread. He doesn't even care who was in charge of bringing the bread. In fact, if you think a little bit deeper into this, the other thing that we observe is that Jesus, being God, he knew that they had forgotten to bring the bread. And he is using this mistake as an occasion to test their faith. He knew about their mistake. He knew what they had done. And he uses this occasion to test their faith to see if they will trust in him. And how did the disciples do? Well, not so much better than the Pharisees, right? They start arguing about the bread and they start being worried. In verse 6, the Lord tries to give the disciples an important warning. It says, take heed of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And then he tells them in verse 8, O ye of little faith, because they began to argue about the bread. Why do you reason yourselves among yourselves because you have brought no bread? What he's telling the disciples here is just like the faith of the Pharisees was fake, their faith has to be different. Their faith has to be real. Their faith cannot just be a mask like the Pharisees and the Sadducees had. So what happens here is a cycle, right? And how many times I have been myself involved in disciples. The disciples are confused to what the Lord is trying to teach them. And the reason why they are so confused about the teaching of the Lord is because they are not present, right? The reason why they are not present is because they're worried. They're worried that they have forgotten about the bread. And the reasons why they are worried is because they are lacking faith. How many times have I gone through the same cycle? I am confused. Somebody's talking to me. I am listening to the word of God. I have an opportunity to be involved in the ministry, and I am not present. And the reason why I am not present is because there are a host of other things that are worrying me. And the reason why these things worry me and why I think these things are more important than what God wants me to pay attention at the present are because I have little faith, like the disciples had here. So in verses 11 and 12, we see how the disciples finally understand what the Lord is talking about. And just as a conclusion from this particular section, just make three statements. One of them is the lack of faith is the root of hypocrisy. And the reason why many times I am not real is because I have a lack of faith. Lack of faith is also the root of being absent when God wants me to be present. And I am absent because I worry, and the reason why I worry is because I have a lack of faith. The point here that the Lord is making is that just like the Pharisees, Christians are not immune to the lack of faith that causes these two behaviors, that causes us to be hypocrites, or that causes us to be absent or not be present when we're hearing the word of God. The difference, though, between us and the Pharisees is that God has given us true faith. Unlike the Pharisees, we do have the capacity to believe and to trust Christ and to break this cycle of hypocrisy or absence from what the Lord wants us to pay attention to. Now, we're going to look at the passage one more time, and this time we're going to look at the details. We're going to get deep into the details of the passage, and we're going to start with the first problem, the problem of being real. The Lord tells the disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What does he mean by that? The teaching of the Pharisees and the Pharisees, we know that in essence was hypocrisy. It doesn't say it explicitly on this passage, but if we look at Luke chapter 12 and verse 1, you don't have to go there. The last part of the verse says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. That is the problem of the Pharisees. This word hypocrisy comes from the Greek, and the Greeks or the Greek authors will use this word outside the Bible to describe actors in a play. These actors will normally stand out on the stage and will wear a mask. So in essence, hypocrisy is, in the context that we're reading here, when we have a masked faith. We have the appearance of faith. Everybody can see that we have faith, but there is no internal reality. That is the essence of hypocrisy. The accounts of hypocrisy in connection to the Pharisees are numerous in the Bible. There are too many to actually go through each one of them. But because they're so numerous, it makes me think that it's something really important that God wants us to warn us against. He doesn't want us to be like the Pharisees. He doesn't want us to have that lack of faith that generates these behaviors. So just as a summary, let me give you some of the behaviors or some of the ways in which the Pharisees behaved. The Pharisees loved appearances. When they offered, they liked to make noise. They liked everyone to know how much money they were given. When they were fasting or when they were praying, they would raise up their hands in the corners and pray out loud so that everybody could hear them. They would choose their words in a way that they will sound really spiritual. In the way in which they dressed, they wanted to make a distinction between them and the rest of the people. They wanted to come across as being more spiritual. They love respect and status. They love to go to the plazas and receive salutations and have people bow down and say, oh, look, here comes the Pharisee. He's a really spiritual man. He's a man of God. They were clean outside, but rotten inside. The Lord compares them to whitewashed tombs. They were beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, they were full of worms like a graveyard. They invented pious rules and tradition and then dispensed guilt trips out of these rules and those traditions. Remember when the Lord and his disciples tried to make bread with the grain that they find because they didn't have any bread? Then what was the accusation of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? And they say, don't your disciples wash their hands like the rest of the elders? And the Lord says, you have made all these rules that are not part of the Bible, and you are hypocrites. Because while making these rules, you think you're more spiritual, you're really negating other things that are more important from the Bible. They follow the Bible at their convenience, or they interpreted things according to what they wanted. For example, when they delivered the Lord to be crucified, when they brought him to Pilate, they were concerned that they will defile themselves by entering into the praetorium, because that will be something unclean. But they were not concerned that they were turning in an innocent man to be murdered. That was who the Pharisees were. And that reminds me of this watch that I'm wearing right here, just as an illustration. This is, I don't know if you know much about watches. My uncle gave me this watch. Well, he didn't give it to me. He already died, and my aunt gave it to me. But my uncle really loved this expensive and nice watches. This is a Rado watch, and it's really nice. It's the only nice watch that I have. She gave it to me after he died, and it was really annoying because my uncle used to wear this watch and his watches and sit at the table and polish them with a piece of cloth, and he just wanted to make sure everybody saw what beautiful watch he was wearing. So I received this watch from my aunt, and the only problem that it had is that it didn't have a battery when I got it. So I took it to a local watch repairman, and he didn't want to change the battery because the watch was so delicate and so fine that he didn't want to break the glass. So finally, I brought it to Dallas, and I found a jeweler that will change the battery for $50. Well, I thought to myself, I guess if I want to wear a nice watch, I have to be willing to pay the $50, right? So I paid the $50, and I left the watch. A week after, I went to pick him up, and then I got ambitious. I asked the repairman, how much do you think is my watch? If I was to sell it, how much do you think it's worth? I should have known something was wrong because he didn't want to look at me in the eye. And he says to me in a very nice and polite way, I think your watch is a replica. Ooh, it turns out that that $50 battery is probably 3 times more expensive than my beautiful Rado watch right here. Sometimes I can be like this watch. Fancy on the outside, shiny, but fake inside. I can be polished, but I can be rotten inside. Notice in this verse, on verse 6, that the Lord warns the disciples to take heed and beware. And this seems redundant. It seems repetitive to say to someone, take heed and beware. And the reason why he does this and the reason why we do this many times is because when there is a danger ahead, when there is something that is really a threat, we want people to be careful. We use this with our kids all the time, right? And I am sure when my kids come of age, when they can start driving, that they will hear from me multiple times, be careful, pay attention, beware, right? Because we don't want them to have an accident, because we understand the great responsibility of driving and how an accident can change many lives, right? Take heed and beware. The Lord doesn't want us just to be careful with not being hypocrites. He wants us to be actively resisting hypocrisy and keep our eyes open when we are not being real. Because hypocrisy is a serious threat. And the best way to take heed and to beware of hypocrisy is being real, being authentic in our faith. And the first step for that is to admit when I am not real. And that is a difficult thing to think about, but that is the first step. We have to look at ourselves, I have to look at myself with all the examples that I gave you, and admit when there are times when I am not being real. But why is it so dangerous to be hypocrites? Why does Jesus have to warn us so many times about this? Notice that the Lord here compares the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees with yeast. And I am not a baker in any way, but if you have handled yeast or if you have seen somebody handle yeast, the way yeast normally works is you just put a little bit on the dough, and that's all it takes. You put a little yeast of the dough, and what happens to the dough? It lumps, right? There's not a piece of dough that is not affected by this yeast. And this picture of the yeast comes from the Old Testament. Yeast was associated with sin. And up to this day, on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Jews sweep their homes and make sure that they get rid of all the yeast inside their houses because they don't want any yeast in their bread during this week. So yeast is associated with sin, but I also think it's associated with the way in which sin spreads. We allow hypocrisy in our lives, and it spreads everywhere. We allow hypocrisy in our church, and it can become systematic. And we studied about that in Galatians chapter 3. We're not going to go there, but I don't know if you remember when Peter and the others that came from James were being hypocrites, they have corrupted the whole church. Everybody in the church was being a hypocrite. Hypocrisy is really dangerous. It can turn a genuine church, a refreshing church, into a false church, into a counterfeit church. Now, let me focus on the other problem on the rest of our passage, the problem of being absent, and I'm reading verses 5 and 7 through 10. It says, let me get it from here. Let me go back to my passage here. Verse 5, it says, and the disciples came to the other side and had forgotten to take bread. And then verses 7 through 10, and they began to discuss among themselves, saying, it is because we took no bread. But Jesus, aware of this, said, you men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, or the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand? I did not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So we look on verse 5 that the occasion was a human error, right? They forgot to bring the baskets. And then on verse 7, they start discussing between themselves. This distraction that they had because of their mistake begins to make them worried that they didn't have any bread. And you can imagine the conversation, right? Whose fault was it to forget this bread? They started pointing fingers at each other. Peter is telling John, weren't you supposed to bring the bread? Who was supposed to pick up these baskets that we took up? And the Lord is now rebuking us. He's yelling at us because we didn't bring bread. They missed the Lord's instruction by about 3 miles. They have no idea what the Lord is talking to them about because they are worried that they have forgotten to bring the bread. How many times have I forgotten, or how many times I should say, I have missed the Lord's instruction because I am worried about something else? You know, the same thing happened to Martha, and I'm just reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. His sister Mary is cleaning, and Mary is at the feet of the Lord, and Martha is cleaning, and Martha starts complaining to the Lord, "Why isn't Mary helping me?" And he says to her, but the Lord answered, said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her." The time of the Lord's instruction is not a time for us to worry about our problems. It's not a time for us to worry about anything else. It is a time for us to listen to the Word of God. The Lord is taking care of us. That is the lesson that we take from here, and He wants us to listen to Him. Let me read one more passage, Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33. "Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." When we worry, the Lord tells us here, we are like the Gentiles. We are like the unbelievers. When we worry, people cannot really see our faith. They know that we're not trusting in the Lord. And the Lord tells us here that the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His word, His will for us is more important than anything that we can worry about. What should we do instead of worrying? Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. It says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." So the first thing that we need to do when we worry is to pray and to turn to the Lord everything that is heavy in our hearts, everything that makes us anxious, anything that is distracting us. And then back in our passage, if you look at verses 9 and 10, the Lord also resorts to another very effective remedy against worrying. What does He tell the disciples to do in verses 9 and 10? Remember. Remember what you have seen. Remember what I have done for you. Remember how I fed 5,000 people and how I fed 4,000 people. And remember that there were leftovers for each of you to eat. So one of the remedies against worrying is to remember what the Lord has done for us. How many times have you proven in your life God's faithfulness? How many times, I can tell you about some of mine, how many times have I been in situations where even it was my fault or I made a mistake and the Lord took me out of a really serious problem? I remember when my father was about to die, I needed to go back to Mexico and I couldn't get out with the permit that I had to be in the U.S. And I was really worried and I prayed. And the Lord made everything work for me to be able to go there and come back here again. I remember that time when I was waiting for a job call, for a job from a job interview, or just to get a job interview, and the phone rang at the right moment. How many times has the Lord been faithful to you? In times when we are worried, we have to remember the faithfulness of God. We have to remember His testimonies in our life. And most importantly, we have to remember the testimonies from the Word of God in our life. We have been studying the book of Joshua, and all of those things are recorded there for the Israelites in future generations to remember. Remember the faithfulness of God. Remember how God brought you into the promised land. Remember how He took care of you in the desert. Remember, God is with you. And when we are worried, the remedy here is to remember. So back in July of 2018, we had a men's Bible study, and this is where this passage came from. This is where I began to study this, and this is where the Lord put this burning in my heart to take care of these two areas in my life. And I just wanted to share a couple more things. I want to share you some of the experience that I've had since I've been working on this, and since the Lord has been working on me in these areas. One of the things that it has done is that being real has made me aware of my motives when I serve the Lord. It has made me ask myself these questions. Am I doing this so that others will thank me? Am I doing what I'm doing so that others will notice? Or am I only concerned to follow the will of God and do what I do for the love of others? being real is helping me avoid wearing masks to impress others, or to wear the mask of faith just to impress others. And it also allows me to appreciate each one of you for who you really are as my brother and sister in Christ. I try to see each one of you without masks. I try to see each one of you for who you are as my brother and sister in Christ. Being real has freed me from serving out of guilt or from imposing guilt trips to make others do things. When I serve out of guilt, I am not serving out of love. I am serving out of hypocrisy. And when I impose guilt trips on anyone to serve, I am doing the same thing. Now, the lesson here is not to get rid of the service. You should still do what you wanted to do, but get rid of the guilt trip. It is not necessary to have the guilt trip. Being present, on the other hand, has helped me to listen in church instead of being worried, and I want to be honest here, instead of being worried about a football game later on, if somebody has texted me on my phone, maybe I am worried about the kid who is talking behind on the third pew. One pew behind some kid was crying. Being worried has freed me from all of these things and really helped me focus to pay attention when somebody else is praying, when somebody else is reading the Word of God. Being present has helped me to really focus on these things. Because of that, the Lord has blessed me in great ways. Because I've been able to be present when I was supposed to hear, the Lord has done amazing things in my life through His Word. Being present has helped me take on new opportunities to serve the Lord. Sometimes we miss opportunities to serve Christ because we are not present. We are not paying attention to the needs that are before us. So to end our study, I would like to give you some suggestions to be real and to be present. These are suggestions. I don't want to be a Pharisee once again and tell you what you need to do, because in that I will be defeating the purpose. But these are some suggestions of things that can help you. First of all, make sure that you are real before God first. Look at your own heart. Don't try to be real before me. I don't try to be real before you. Make sure you are real before God first. God can see your heart. God knows the reality of your faith. There is no use of wearing masks before God. Here's another suggestion. Focus on serving with commitment. And we welcome, it is welcome, and you should continue to serving sporadically and casually as much as you want. That is a good thing you should continue to do. But focus on serving with commitment, because when we serve sporadically or casually, we tend to draw more attention. And when you draw that attention, it plays tricks with your brain. It makes you wonder if you're doing certain things to receive credit or if you're really doing it to serve the Lord. But when you serve with commitment, something is going to happen. The day is going to come when no one notices what you're doing, when nobody thanks you anymore for the things that you've been doing for so long. And it is during those times when you're serving with commitment that you know your service for the Lord is real. So focus with serving with commitment. Many of us, the Lord has led us to make adjustments, like I said, early in our lives and make measures to help us grow. And these are rules that we have in our personal life. And by all means, we have to continue to do these things if they have helped you grow in my lives. I remember this missionary in Mexico who used to work with us. And he used to like coming to our home and watch football games. And the reason he liked to come to our house to watch football games is because he didn't have a TV in his house. He didn't have a TV in his house because this was something that in his spiritual life he had decided would be beneficial for him. You can't imagine the tremendous things that the Lord did through this missionary because he just got rid of that TV. He had time for his family. He had time to work with people. But the one thing that he never did was tell others to get rid of their TV. And that's probably why he came to our house to watch the games. He never told anyone to not watch TV. He had this rule, but he had it to himself. He didn't impose it on anybody else. Here's some ideas to help you be present. I forgot it today, but I have this black notebook that I bring and carry around. And one thing that I've been doing is I've been taking notes when somebody's speaking, and that helped me remember throughout the week what the person spoke about. And I'm not telling you that you need to bring a black book like me. You may have your own way or your own method to be present, but whatever it takes, whatever it makes you pay attention, do that. Do that so that you listen to the Word of God when it's spoken. Focus on the message and not on the preacher. And I don't mean to offend anybody here, but I have heard great truths from the Word of God from really able preachers, and I have heard great truths from the Word of God from not so able preachers too. And the challenge here is really amazing. I enjoy hearing the truths regardless of the preacher. That doesn't mean that the preacher doesn't have a responsibility to prepare, but at the end of the day, when I am just focused on the preacher, I stop being focused on the truths that are spoken from the Word of God. You probably heard about Charles Spurgeon one time. He used to be one of the great preachers. And he, one of the things he did is he also trained younger people to preach in other places. And he will send them to different churches to preach. So somebody once sent a letter to Spurgeon and says, "Mr. Spurgeon, will you please send us a preacher that will fill out our church?" And Mr. Spurgeon replied and said, "We will send a preacher that will fill the pulpit. It is your responsibility to fill the church." And I will add to that that it is our as part of our responsibility to fill the church is to be present. Because when we are absent, even though the church may be full, the church is not full. The church is absent, is not present here. Another idea is have devotions when you are most alert. Many of you read your Bibles and pray every day. Choose a time when you can be most present with the Lord. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't pray throughout the day, but it's a good idea to choose a time to have your devotions when you can be most present. Teach your kids to be present by being present yourself. If your kids see that this is burdensome, that this is boring, or that this is not engaging in spite of the preacher or whoever it may be, they will take that after you, and they will believe that it's not really important to them either. The difference between us and the Pharisees is not that we can't struggle because of lack of faith. We all have this problem. The difference here is that the Lord has given us the capacity to trust Him. He has given us the capacity to be real and to be present. And the Lord, from what I remember, has used each one of you in my life as an example of being real and being present in different times of my life. So we are able to do this. Being real and being present keeps the testimony of our church fresh. It makes us a church that is alive. I am really encouraged every time I have people come back from a missions trip and they bring those pictures from Malawi or Bihar, right? One thing that you observe in these pictures is that the people that go to these churches are real and are present. They may not have a lot of money, they may not have a lot of the things we have, they may not have the facilities we enjoy, but they are real and we are present. And one thing that I notice from everybody who shares after coming back from a mission trip is that that person who went on that mission trip comes back refreshed from that reality and from that presence that those believers have. Final suggestion is pray. Pray that God will help you in your life in these two areas, just as I pray that the Lord continues to help me in these two areas too. We need the Lord's help to continue to be present and real and to make this church fresh by continuing being to be this way. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you for teaching us this morning. And thank you, Lord, that because you came into this world, you were real and you were present always with your disciples. And you taught us through your example to do likewise. And we pray, Father, that you will help us to do this. Thank you, Father, for always being with us. Help us, Lord, with the things that worry us, with the things that are difficult in our lives. We acknowledge our difficulties before you, and you know exactly how to help us. You have helped us. You have been faithful always, and we want to put these things in your hands, and we pray, Lord, that you will continue to help us to grow in Christ. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.